Okay, we're starting here at the top of Lamed Aleph, Lamed Aleph. Gemara says 2, 4, 5 lines down at the end of the line. Tani Tana Kamed Rav Nachman. So there was a braisa that was said in front of Rav Nachman. As much adam it's a eret aviv et imo. Person causes pain or distress to his parents. Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu Yafas Sitish Lo Darti Bnehem. It's a good thing that I did not live among them. Shemale Darti Bnehem Tziuruni. Because had I lived among them, then they would have caused me pain. So this is a continuation. This is the negative formulation of the statement that we had seen before, that there are, to the end of Lamed Amud Bet, that the Gemara there says that there are Shlosha Shutfim Hin Ba'adam. There are three partners when it comes to Adam. There's a Kodesh Baruch Hu, Aviv V'Imo. So the Gemara there made the positive statement, that is, when a person's Mechabed Aviv V'Imo, then a Kodesh Baruch Hu says, Malei Ani Aleim Kilu Darti B'nei Mechduni. It's as if I lived among them, and they gave me Kavod, and the Shechina is Shorah with them. So here's the negative formulation, which is that if Hashem and the parents are partners towards the child, if the child acts in a manner that causes distress or causes his parents to be distraught, then it's the equivalent of causing that same distress or distraughtness to a Kodesh Baruch Hu Ki'ilu. And Hashem says, I won't be there. I won't have my Shekhinah be Shorah there, because if this person treats his parents inappropriately, then it's as if he's treating me inappropriately. The Gemara drew that yesterday on the Daf Lamed Amud Bet, drew an equivalence between one's parents and a Kodesh Baruch Hu. That one's relationship with the parents is a model for the relationship with a Kodesh Baruch Hu, both from its side of a Hakaras HaTov, also with its side of how they show reverence and kibbutz towards their parents, as a model for how they should act towards a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Amar Rav Yitzchak, kolo avera avera b'seiter, ki ilu dochek regle ha-shchina. Whoever is over an avera in private, it's as if he was dochek regle ha-shchina, shnemar, komar Hashem. Hashem says, Hashemayim kisi, the skies, the heavens are my throne, v'aretz adom raglai, and the land or the earth below is my footstool, my feet stit. So what does this mean? It means that if a person says, I won't do an avera in public because I'm afraid of what people will think, and then he goes ahead and does it in private because he thinks no one's looking, that's kilu dochek raglei shchina. It's as if he's saying Hashem doesn't see, Hashem's not there. It's the equivalent of saying that Hashem is not in existence. As Tosfos points out of here, this is obviously if he's matzi kayif the yitzrei, if he has the ability to overcome his yetzer here that's driving him to do the avera. Obviously, if he does the avera and his yetzer is driving him to the avera, then that's not what we're talking about where he's meisir HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Here, it's a person who's able to control himself and yet does it anyway in private because he doesn't want other people to see, and he thinks that no one's watching, it's okay now. That is saying, look, it's Hashem's not here. When I'm in private, Hashem isn't in this spot that I'm in. And the Tosfos is referencing the Gemara in Chagiga, and Daf Zayin Amud Aleph. There's also our Gemara further on in Kedushin and Daf Mem, which says that if a person has overcome the Yetzer Hara, that he should be lovesh shchorim, he should wear black, that he should go to a place where nobody knows him, and then he should be over the Avera in that place. So there's a machlokas that we've shown him there, whether Rashi and Tosfos and the Rio of the Earth seem to indicate that it means that he will literally be over the Avera when he goes there. Others, like the Rach, say chas v'shalom that it'll be over the avera, but rather that by acting in such a manner, it'll take away his yetzer. But what you see from that gemara over there is that when someone is overcome by the yetzer, there is a value to not doing it in public or not doing it in a place where people recognize him. There is a value to going away into a private place or somewhere separate, so that it's not a chilul Hashem. So there is a maila to doing something b'seiter that's not a chilul Hashem. That's only if he's doing it where he can't control his yetzer, as other points out. But if he controls the yetzer and he still does it in private, meaning that I'm afraid of people and not Hashem, that is kilu dochek raglei shchina. It's as if he's saying Hashem doesn't belong in this place. I'm Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Also, adam shelech arba amot bekomas kufa. A person can't walk four amot with a komas kufa in a haughty manner, with a holding himself up high, because that's as if he's bumping into Hashem. Shenemar am lo kol ha'aretz kvodo, because the land or the world or the earth is totally encompassed by Hashem, as is filled in with Hashem, that Hashem is all the way down here. He's on the earth. He's around us everywhere. If a person walks a komas kufa, he's acting in a manner that aggrandizes the self, right, and lacks recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So in that instance, we say that it's as if he, what? As if he is dochek the regular Shekhinah, or as if he's pushing away Hashem and saying Hashem doesn't belong in this spot. So a similar type of idea to what we just mentioned before for a person who's over an Avera B'Seter. Puna Breid Rav Yeshua, lo maske arba amot b'gidoi rosh. Right, Rav Huna Breid Rav Yeshua did not walk with his head uncovered for amot, amar, Shekhinah, the malam yiroshi, that the Shekhinah is always above my head. So this is one of the sources, one of the main sources for the fact that we wear yarmulkes, or where we kippah today. Although the Rambam, when he codified the halacha, The Rambam includes this in the halachos of a Talmud Chacham, in the way that a Talmud Chacham should conduct himself. That this isn't necessarily for the Hamon Am, but rather this is the way that Talmidei Chachamim go out. He says in Hilchot Deot, Perek Hei Halacha Vav, Tzniut Gedula, Noagim Talmidei Chachamim Batzman, Lo Yitbazu, Velo Yitgalu Roshan. Right, velo gufan, that they should not go around in a way or act in a manner that is mevazeh them, that degrades their stature. They shouldn't go with their head uncovered and not their bodies uncovered. So the Rambam, when he codifies this halacha of Rav Huna Bar Yehoshua, says that's unique or something referencing to a Talmud Chacham, that because of his stature or his standing, he shouldn't walk around with a gilui rosh, but doesn't necessarily apply it to the Hamoran. On the other hand, the Mechaber, when he codifies this halacha in Siman Bet, Si'if Vav, he writes, Asur lelech b'komas kufa, which is the previous Gemara, v'lo yelech dalet amot b'gilui arosh, and a person shouldn't walk around with his head uncovered b'gilui arosh. So that's the Chaber, when he codifies, it codifies it halacha for everyone, as in, and not unique or specific to Talmidei Chachamim. Although we know that in general, that this is not, or the many believe that this not going dalet amot is not asur midino, it's not an asur midin, but rather it's a tznius. From people, or it's a minog tov. Although the Taz claims, and this is we know that the Taz was the one in Sivchet that claims that bizmanenu, in our time already, it's Isur Gomer Medina Leot Beguli Rosh, Afil Yoshe Bebeto, even if you're in a house, one should not go with their head uncovered. And the Taz was the big proponent of the idea that the Yarmulke now is no longer a minog tov or just a minog tzniut, but rather it's a Medina, that one has to wear a yarmulke, and that's the minog ha'am in general is to follow the Taz and to wear a yarmulke at all times and to consider a yarmulke an inyan of din and not an inyan of midat chasidut anymore. But obviously, and even those who do have the minhag to go without kisu arosh or to go around with the head uncovered, that when it comes to brachot and to limud Torah, that one v'vadai has to cover their head because of the shechina is above them, especially if they're making a brachot limud Torah, then they have to cover their heads in those instances. Sha'al Ben Amana Chatir Rabbi Eliezer. So one orphan asked Rabbi Eliezer, Abba Omer Hishkini Mayim. My father says to me to bring me a cup of water. Ima Omeret Hishkini Mayim. My mother says, bring me some water. Ezemem Kodim. Which one goes first? So Amalei, Hanich Kvodim Echa Vasek Kvodavicha. Let go, meaning that pass over doing the kavod for your mother and do it for your father. Why? Shatabim Chachayavim Bechvodavicha. Because you and your mother are obligated to give kavod, to treat your father with that type of respect, and therefore the father's kavod will take precedence or priority over the mother's kavod, because both of you are obligated in that kavod of the father. So then, Balifnei Rabbi Yeshua, after he had asked this to Rabbi Eliezer, he went to Rabbi Yeshua, Amalo. So he told over the same, asked the same question, he gave him the same answer. Amalo Rabbi, Nitgar Shemahu, what happens if she gets divorced? What's the story? From your eyelashes and from your eyes, I see that you are an almana, from all the crying that you've done, that you know you're an orphan. Right? Hatelahem mayim b'seifel. Put the big bowl of water out for them, b'kakelahem ketarganogolim, and then quack for them like a bunch of chicks, squawk for them like a bunch of chickens. The way Rashi reads this Gemara over here, that this response, that Rabbi Yeshua's response over here was basically he wasn't asking a practical question, because he recognized that he was an almano, that he was an orphan, I'm sorry, and that asking this question both about his mother and that getting divorced and all these things were not practical questions, and therefore he just was pushing him aside and saying to him, listen, that this isn't a real issue, so gave him like an answer that wasn't straight. The Marshal takes an alternative approach and he questions Rashi's explanation of the Gemara. First of all, why did Rabbi Yeshua only get upset when he asked about Nidgarsha Imecha, right? When he says, what happens if my mother's divorced? Why did he get upset when he asked in the first place, Ima Babo? Why wasn't that a question, or why wasn't that a problem? Meaning that, why all of a sudden did Rabbi Yeshua get upset later on? And number two is, even if he isn't asking for practical halacha, why doesn't Rabbi Yeshua respond to him and give him what the halacha is? Right? We always ask theoretical cases when it comes to halacha. So Marsha offers an alternative explanation that Rabbi Yeshua did recognize that he was an orphan, but he didn't know if he had lost his mother or his father. So that's when he asked him to answer the first time. But then, once he said Nidgarsha, once he says that his mother was divorced, he realized that it was his father that he had lost, and that his mother had remarried, meaning that he now had a stepfather and stepbrothers. And he was asking with regards to the halacha for his stepbrothers. What do his stepbrothers do now? Because they have a mother and a father who are divorced. So now you've lost, or the necessity to say that the father takes precedence, but kibud av is not here, because the mother is no longer chayev b'kibuda av, because they are divorced. So what should their din be? So that's when Rabbi Yeshua responded to them that he should put out, that the brother should put out a bowl of water and tell them to come and get it. Meaning that since they have equally obligated to give kavod to the mother and the father in this instance, that they can't be making the determinants, because that'll be offensive to one or the other. So instead they should bring the water and call them and say, you can come get the water. So that way they'll treat them both equally. That's the interpretation of the Mishnah, just to get out of some of the issues that he had with Rashi's explanation here. Dorish Ula Rabo, a pitcha de benisiyah. So Ula Rabo was giving over a drusha in front of the doorway to the house of the Nasi. That all the kings of the earth will give thanks, or will give admission to you, because they heard your words. Ma'amar picha lo ne'amar doesn't say ma'amar picha, that which you said, ela imrei picha, that which you said. What does that mean? B'shasha amar kadosh baruch hu enochi v'lo yelecha. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave over the Yaseret HaDibrot, when he said the first two Dibrot, he said, Amru Mot Olam L'chvod Atzma Hu Dorish. Right, when he says, Anochi V'lo Yilecha, oh, it seems like the whole Torah, the purpose of the Torah is to give Kavod Hashem. He's talking about himself. All he cares about is his own Kavod. Kevin Shemar Kabedet Avicha V'et Imecha, after he said, Kabedet Avicha V'et Imecha, Chazru V'hodu L'mamarot Rishonot. Then they realized that since HaKadosh Baruch Hu was also commanding on Kibbut Av Ve'im, right, that it was not all about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but that Hashem had a plan, a whole Torah, a way of life, a way of acting that included Anochi V'lo Yelecha. So after they saw Kabedet Avicha V'et Imecha, they then acquiesced or understood what Anochi V'lo Yelecha was. Rava Amar Mihacha, we'll do Rava and then we'll do a little more explanation here. Rosh Devar Chamet, what does it mean that your first words are true? Rosh Devarcha, Velos Devarcha, your first words are true and not your end words are not true? Ella, Misof Devarcha, from your ends, Nikash Rosh Devarcha Emet, that your first words are true. What are your end words? Well, if you take the two Luchot, right, there were two tablets of the Aseret HaDibrot, then the last Dibra on the first Luach, the fifth Dibra, is Kabedet Avicha Ve'etimecha, from the Sof Dibur, from that Dibur of Kabedet Avicha Ve'etimecha, that is Mare on Anochi Velo Yelecha. How is it Mare? So the Marsha points out over here, and it's a nice, with the continuation of the Gemara, is that amongst the Goyim, amongst the Akum, at that time, it was well accepted that Kabedet Avicha Ve'etimecha was a value that was worth upholding. And since this was a value that they understood, when Hashem said, Anochi V'lo Yelecha, that wasn't meaningful to them. They said, he's just trying to take care of himself. Once Hashem instructed also Kabedet Avicha Ve'etimecha, they saw that Hashem was commanding a value that they understood. Once they saw that Hashem was commanding values that they understood, then they said, there must be much more to this, much more to the Torah, and therefore they understood that Anochi V'lo Yelecha was part of that bigger picture of that Torah. And that's why the Gemara, according to Marsha, now is going to bring examples of people who did Kibbut Av Ve'Im, and these are examples of non-Jews doing Kibbut Av Ve'Im. So the continuation of the Gemara is a proof or a better understanding of what this piece of the Gemara was discussing, which is that the Ovdei Chachamim understood the value of Kabedet Avicha V'Etimecha, and we'll have these examples now, and from that, they understood also that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah was a greater good. They ask Rav Yehuda, to what extent, or to what extent does one have to perform Kibud Aveim? Amalhem, through room, Asa Ovid Kachvim Echad Be'Ashkelon. You should see what this one non-Jew did in Ashkelon. Vidama Benetina Shemo. And his name was Damatina. Pamachad Bikshu Chachamim Prakmatia B'Shishim Ribo. The Chachamim wanted to do some trade with him. We're at 600,000 coins. Char. But the key was under the pillow of his father. Velo Tziro, and he wasn't willing to wake him up. Amr Rabbi Yehuda Meshmuel, Shaluit Rabbi Eliezer, Eichan Kibbut Av Ve'Im. How far one must go for Kibbut Av Ve'Im? Amr Lehem, Tzuru'u, Maaseh Ovid Chachamim Echad Aviv Ve'Ashkelon. Go look and take a look at a non-Jew in Ashkelon, what he did in terms of Kibbut Av Ve'Im. B'Dama Ben Netina Shemo. His name was Dama Ben Netina. So whether this is just an alternative or another story about Dama Ben Netina, or it seems more likely that this is an alternative version or a more expansive or explicit version of what transpired there. They wanted to buy from him the jewels or the stones that they needed to put into the ephod for the Kohen Gadol, and he happened to have them, and they offered him 600,000 gold coins, right? Rav Kahana Matnei B'Shmodim Ribo, that was 800,000 coins. And the key was under the pillow of his father. Velo Tziro, he's unwilling to wake him up. L'shana Acheret, Natan HaKadosh Baruch Hu Scharo, Hashem gave him his reward. Shalondolo Para Duma Be'edro, that the Paraduma was born in his flock. Nichnesu Chachmei Yisrael Etzo, so the Chachamim came to him. I know that this paraduma is so valuable that I can ask whatever price I want and you will pay it. But all I want is to be repaid for the money that I gave up last year when I didn't sell you the stones because I gave Kibbutz Avaim. I understand that Hashem gave me this paraduma as a midah connected midah as a reward for my Kibbutz Avaim. So too, I just want to be repaid. I want to get the money that I would have otherwise gotten because of the Kibbutz Avaim that I had performed. So then what's the reason that we're bringing examples? Here is a person who's not commanded. They don't have the tzivui HaKadosh Baruch Hu when it comes to Kibbutz Avaim. Nevertheless, this is the way he acted. One who is commanded. Well, we have a requirement in the Torah to be Mechaved Avaim. Certainly, then, we should be held to the standard, or even a higher standard than this. Damar Rabbi Chanina. Chanina has a statement. Godol Mitzuvah V'Oseh. Mishenu Mitzuvah Oseh. Greater is the one who's commanded to do something and does it than one who does it voluntarily. Because we know, and the understanding that the Rishonim explain here is because one who is commanded or told to do something, right, their yetzer is greater to avoid or to rebel against this. People don't like being told what to do. They rather do what they want to do or how they want to do it. So when one is mitzuvah to do something in particular and does it anyway, that's a greater level than one who does it voluntarily. So I'm Rav Yosef, so we have a side story from this about Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef got sick later in his life and became blind. And many times throughout the Shas, throughout the Gemara talks about Rav Yosef. When they wanted to know how to interpret a pasuk, they said, how was Rav Yosef mitargim, can mitargim Rav Yosef? As Rav Yosef was mitargim that, why? Because after Rav Yosef went blind, right, the halacha is that you're going to learn Torah Shebichtav min Haktav. You're going to learn Torah Shebichtav when you can read out of the psukim, out of the Ktav itself, not Baal Peh. And now that he was blind, he could only learn Baal Peh. So Rav Yosef then learned Chumash, not from the Hebrew, directly from the Hebrew itself, but rather through the Targum. So he became an expert in Targum, and that's why many places in Shas says, Kimitargim Rav Yosef. And also, other places in Shas also, that his students were reminding him, Rav Yosef got sick, and he forgot what he had learned before, and relearned it afterwards. So there are times in Shas where you see a student saying, well, didn't you tell us this beforehand? Isn't this different than what you had said prior? And that's because of the sickness that made him blind. So I'm Rav Yosef, Mireish, Hava Amino. I used to say, whoever tells me the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, the Amar Suma Potter Mina Mitzvot, that Suma is Potter Mina Mitzvot, means that I'm Potter Mina Mitzvot, and I would do it anyway. So that's the greatest thing. I'm doing it voluntarily. Then Avida Yom Tov the Rabbonon. I would make a party for the Rabbonon and make a big celebration because I got the ability to do it voluntarily. And I was even though I was Potter, I was still doing it. Dalo Mifkedina Avida. I'm not commanded to do it. Any mitzvah vosa. Hashet Shmiyat Hadam Rabbi Chanina. Now that I heard the principle of Rabbi Chanina, which is what that Gadol Mitzvah vosa, when it's commanded to do and does it, is greater. Now I'd want the halacha to be the other way around. So then, that Rabbi Chanina, the Gadol Mitzvah say, you tell me Shena Mitzvah say, Adrabo, want just the opposite. Man Dormali, the Ain Alacha Rabbi Yehuda. Whoever tells me the Alacha is not like Rabbi Yehuda, I mean that a Suma is Chayav in a Mitzvot, Avina Yamatov the Rabbanan. Then I'll make a big party, because now I am a Mitzvah Vaose, which is a greater level. Tosfos points out over here, and this is a machlokas between Tosfos and the Rambam, that when it comes to mitzvahs aseish as mangarav, which women are pturim mimenu, the Rambam believes that a woman voluntarily can perform such a mitzvah, but she cannot be mevarich, she cannot make a bracha on such a mitzvah. Yet, the Tosfos, the Vali Tosfos, the Rabbeinu Tam paskins that women who perform a mitzvah aseish as mangarav voluntarily can make a brachon, and that's the minhag Ashkenaz. The Ashkenazi women do make brachot and mitzvot aseishas man grama, whereas the Sephardi women do not. One of the proofs of the Rabbeinu Tam is our Gemara here. Why? Because what did Rabbi Yosef say? Rabbi Yosef said over here, I would make a party. Before he knew of the statement of Rabbi Chanina, he said, I'll make a party for anybody who tells me the lach is like Rabbi Yehuda, that I'm potter min a mitzvot. So wait a minute. If Rabbi Yosef, when he's potter in a mitzvot and does it voluntarily, then he couldn't make any more brachot on the mitzvot. Why would Rabbi Yosef say, I'll make a party? Now he's losing out on making brachot on all these mitzvot, even though he's doing them voluntarily, but nevertheless he's losing out on the brachot. So the only way you could suggest that Rabbi Yosef believed it was better to be in a mitzvah was that if he could do the mitzvah the same way he did it when he was mitzvah. Just like when he was mitzvah, he could do the mitzvah and make a brach on it. So too, when he was in a mitzvah, he could do that, like a woman who is a mitzvah seisha, as mangra, as a mitzvah, that when he was a mitzvah and made a bracha on it, right, those two would be equal. If they're equal, then he can make a statement, I'd rather know the halacha is that a mitzvah is greater. Until he heard of Rabbi Chanina. So you see from this, a proof from Rabbi Yosef's statement that any mitzvah, someone who's not commanded to do a mitzvah, can still make a bracha on it. This is one of the Rabbeinu Tam's proofs that a woman who's performing a mitzvah seisha, as mangra, voluntarily can make a bracha on it. Ki'ad Rav Dimi, Amar, Pamachat Hayah Levush Sirkon Shel Zahav, that this Dama ben Netina one time was wearing a beautiful cloak or dress that was made out of gold, Vayoshev ben Gedolei Romi, and he was sitting amongst the royals of Rome, and his mother came and ripped it off of him, and slapped him on his head, and spit in his face, and he didn't embarrass her. He didn't do anything to embarrass his mother. The Tosfos points out over here that there are other girsot, or other places where the story is brought down, and said that she was mitarif at midata, that she was out of her mind. I mean, obviously, that to act in such a manner that she was slightly crazed. But nevertheless, despite that, Dama Metinam out of Kibbut Av Eim did not embarrass her, despite the way that, despite the fact that she'd acted towards him in such a manner. So again, these are standards which they are the Chachamim are trying to set based on what Ovi Chachamim did for his parents, Dama Metina, that we should also from this learn how to properly act in Kibbut Av Eim. Tanya of Yimei Braid Rabbi Abo, Yesh Ma'achil Avi Pisyonei V'Tordo Min Olam. For sometimes a person feeds his father or his parents delicacies. Now he feeds them, Rashi calls it a bird that's a specialty, or a bird that was had fat, and it's like the slab, like the quail in the midbar. And yet, it's not even worth it. I mean, that he goes to Gehenna, he loses everything with it. And there's someone who puts his father to work in the mill. And that helps him go to Olam Haba. So the Gemara over here is focused. It's not about what you do for your parents, but it's the attitude by which you do it. It's not exactly, because you do the right thing, doesn't mean that is Kibbut Av Eim. And Rashi and Tosfos here both quote these stories that Yushalmi, actually our Gemara does not have it, but Yushalmi has two stories that describe what the cases were over here. If you look in Rashi, it's easier to find in Rashi, three lines down in Rashi, on the top of Lamed Aleph on the bed, it says, Yushalmi Garas Maseh B'Shneihem, we have two cases like this. That this individual was feeding his father these delicacies. Pamachat Amarlo Aviv. One time his father said to him, Ayin lecha kol eile? Where do you get all these great delicacies from? Amarlo Saba, old man, Maich Batacha, what do you care? Tchon lechol. Right? Keep chewing away. So he showed from this, Rashi points out, that it was kashelo, that he really didn't want to do this. He was just doing it because that maybe was the right thing to do. But not that he really loved taking care of his father, not that he wanted to show kavod to his father, because when it came to the attitude that he had and the way that he spoke to his father was clear that he wasn't acting in a manner of Kibbut Av Eim. And the Maise Echad Shaya Tochen B'Rechaim, a person was a mill worker. Vayelo Abzakeni had an elderly father. V'shalach HaMelech B'Shvil Aviv, and the king called for his father to go be put into work for the king. Uvo V'Avodat HaMelech Amar Lo Beno, so his son says to him, Abba, take over my place in the mill, and I'll go instead of you, Tachtecha L'Avodat HaMelech, and I'll replace you to work for the king, Shein LaKitzvah. Because when you work for the king, there's no limit to how much work or what they can impose on you. So I'll take the more strenuous job, which is going to work for the king, and you'll take over working the mill for me. So over here, even though he put his father to work in the mill, he was doing it to his advantage. He was doing something that was positive for his father. So you see again that the emphasis again is on the attitude and the circumstances that surround the way a person presents the Kibbut Av Eim, rather than the maisa itself or the actual action that one has taken. Now the Gemara continues on the top of Laman Alvin Bet. If you want to see an example, or you want to know how to be Mekayim Kibbut Av Eim, you should look at Avimei, my son. He had five sons that were smuchim, that had either smicha, which is one interpretation, another one is Bnei Samche, is that they were somech al shulchano, that they lived with their father, they still live with their father, and they relied on their father for their food. V'chava ata Rabbi Abo, when Avimei's father Rabbi Abo showed up at the door, Kari Abava, he was knocking the door, Rayit v'azul potachle, Avimei himself ran to the door to answer for his father, Amei, in, says, I'm coming, Adamate Hatam, until he got there, meaning that, despite the fact that either he had five sons who were somech al shulchano, that were dependent on him, right, and he could have commanded them to do it on his behalf, nevertheless, he went and did it himself and got up for his father and ran to the door to make sure that he answered the door for his father. Or even if you say Chameshi b'nei Samche, that they were smuchim, that they knew the halacha, and that they were also required to provide kavod to their grandfather. Nevertheless, Avimei insisted that he do it and they do himself because the mitzvah is yoter alav, and that he wanted to be makbid on this Kibbut Av Eim. So Yom Achad Amalei Ashkei and Maya. So one day, his father Rabbi Abo asked Avimei to bring him some water. By the time he brought back the water, when he got back there, his father already had dozed off. He stood there, hovered over his father until he woke up, so the water would be ready as soon as his father woke up. So it seems like to be that he got a flash of brilliance or some ruach hakodesh when he was standing over his father as reward for this. And he was able to understand the Perek Tehillim of Mizmor LeAsaf. So either he was able to understand the whole Perek, or Rashi and Tosfos bring a common explanation of Mizmor LeAsaf, which is that the Mizmor LeAsaf is talking about, what is this Mizmor talking about? It says, Bau Goyim b'nachlatecha, that the Goyim came in into your Beis HaMikdash and they destroyed it. So why is it a Mizmor LeAsaf? Why is it a song of Asaf if here the Goyim are coming in and destroying the Beis HaMikdash? So why, it should be Kinel Asaf, a lamentation to Asaf. Why is it a Mizmor? So he learned what was the interpretation, what's the answer? The answer is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took out his anger on the rocks and the wood, and therefore Bnei Yisrael were saved. I mean, had HaKadosh Baruch Hu not destroyed the Mikdash, he instead would have destroyed Lo Nishar Pleita L'Sonei Yisrael, there would be no Jews left. Meaning he would have destroyed the Jewish people, Chas V'Shalom. So instead, when he took his anger out on the base of Mikdash, that left Bnei Yisrael. They were able to survive the destruction. And that's why it's a Mizmor LeAsaf and not a Kinel LeAsaf, because the destruction of the Mikdash is what saved Klal Yisrael. Tosfos brings a third possible interpretation of what Mizmor LeAsaf here is, that Asaf is a descendant of Korach. And there's a medrash that associates with the Churban HaBayit. The medrash says that when they came to Yerushalayim, that the walls sunk into the ground, and also by the Mikdash, the Sharei Mikdash sunk into the ground. So it says, Mashal Ma Davar Domer, what's this similar to? So there was a Shifcha who went down to draw water from the well, and she had this earthenware vessel, and when she was drawing the water, it fell into the water, and she was crying and crying because she couldn't get it out. Then a princess comes down with her water bucket, and she goes to draw water, and she has a golden bucket, and then she goes to draw the water, and her bucket falls in to the water. All of a sudden, that other maidservant, who before was crying, became happy. She was all of a sudden, she was excited. Why is she excited now? She says, before, when it was just my earthenware vessel at the bottom of the well, I knew nobody was going to go down there and get it. It's not worth the while to go get it. Now that I know that there's a golden bucket at the bottom there, someone's going to go get that golden bucket because it's worthwhile. When they get that golden bucket, they'll also get my earthenware bucket. So same thing, Mizmor LeAsaf, right? The Bnei Korach, the sons of Korach that were swallowed up, Badama, they're down below. They said there's nobody coming after to check on us, to take us out of here. But after the walls of the Sha'arim were sunk into the ground, now they know that someone's going to have to come get those walls, or get those Sha'arim again, to build the base of Mikdash once again. And now they know that something's down there to come take them out, that they also get taken out. Someone will remember them and bring them out as well. And that's why it is a Mizmor LeAsaf. So Amar Le Rav Yaakov Bar Avua Le Abaye. Rav Yaakov says to Abaye, Kigon Ano, Ada Ada Atina Mibay Rav, when I go to the base medrash, I go learning. When I get home at night, my mother pours me a cup of water, and my father pours me a cup of water. Hey, Chiyavid, what should I do? I'm going to say, Kibil, accept it from your mother, but don't accept it from your father. Give me the bar Torah hu chashadate. Since he is a Talmud Chacham, then it's not appropriate for you to have him service you. So it's better to take it from your mother, and then not from your father, so your father will feel that you're giving him a certain amount of respect because he is a Talmud Chacham. He had a mother. Every time she had to get into her bed, it was difficult. Her bed was high up. She couldn't get into it. He used to bend over, and she used to climb up. Use him as a step stool to get into the bed. And when she needed to get out of the bed, again, he would bend down, and she would step on him to come off the bed. So he comes to the base medrash, and he says, look, you know, you guys should look at me. I know how to do kibud av v'aim. Let me tell you what I do for my mother. So I'm like, hey, Adayin lo, you got to the Chatzi Kibbut. You're not even halfway there. You got a long way to go to do Kibbut Avim. Klum Zark Arna Kibbut Fanech Aliyam. Did she ever throw your wallet into the sea in front of you? Below Yechlamita, Chichlamata, and you did not embarrass her? I mean, that the standard of Kibbut Avim is so high that even what you're doing, which is wonderful and tremendous Kibbut Avim, nevertheless, the standard is so high that one has to do even more, meaning that there's always more to do in terms of Kibbut Avim. Rav Yosef, Kiyava Shoma Kal Kara Dime, when he used to, this amazing Gemara here, that when he used to hear the footstep of his mother coming, Amar Iko Mikame Shechina Da'atio, he used to jump up and stand and say, I must stand before the Shechina that's approaching. So again, this plays into the Gemara that we started with today, which is that there are Shlosh Shutfim Ba'adam, that there are three partners in bringing a person around, his mother, his father, and the Shechina. So Abaye saw in his parents, he saw the embodiment of the Shechina, and therefore when his mother came, the kelvo that he gave to his mother, he saw on an equivalent level, and equating it with kibud shamayim and giving kavod to the Shechina. So Rabbi Yochanan Ashrei Mishalo Chaman. Rabbi Yochanan says that it's a bracha that one is an orphan. I mean, Rabbi Yochanan, who was an orphan, said that it's a bracha that one's an orphan because the standard of kibud aim is so high, it's so hard to perform kibud aim properly. Then it's one who's an orphan is saved from that obligation or that difficulty of mikayim kibud aim. Rabbi Yochanan, so this is a story of Rabbi Yochanan, Ki Abarto Imo Metaviv, when he was conceived by his mother, his father passed away. Yodato Meta Imo, when he was born, his mother passed away in childbirth. V'chein Abayi, and Abayi had the same similar situation, that when he was conceived, his father passed away, and when he was born, his mother died in childbirth. Ini, is that really true? V'amar Abayi, doesn't Abayi quote things, Amar Liyim, from his mother? Why is Abayi quoting things from his mother if his mother had passed away already? So hi, obviously he didn't meet her because it was at childbirth that she had passed away. So he said, hi, Mivrinite Ava. This is from his foster mother, from his nurse, the one who brought him up. The foster mother brought him up. He was quoting her, and he called her Aim because she was the one who brought him up. Rav Asi, Havalei, Hai Imaz Keno. Rav Asi had this elderly mother. Amalei, Beina Tachshitin. I need a jewelry. So Avad lost, so he made sure that she had jewelry, took care of her, made sure that she had jewelry. Beina Gavra. Right, he says, I need a man. I need a man to marry. I need a husband. Zayin lechas. He says, I'll go look for you. Let me go check out, see if I can find a man here. He says, being a gavra, the shaper kavatech. I not only do I need a husband, but I need a husband who's as handsome as you are. I mean, that this was a request that obviously he could not fulfill, was beyond. And over here, there's an additional girsa. The Gra has an additional girsa that she was mitufrefet haita, that she was out of her mind, meaning that it was clear that she was not of sound mind over here. So shavkav azalara disrael, because he was unable to satisfy her, perform this kibbutz avim because of her mental state, so he went to Eretz Yisrael. Shama the Kazla Batrait. He heard that she was coming after him, meaning that she found out he was in Israel and she was coming to see him over there. So Atala Kameda Rabbi Yochanan, he went to Rabbi Yochanan. Amalei, Maulat Seit Me Aretz to Chusaretz. Can I leave Eretz Yisrael? Are you allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael to go to Chusaretz? Amalei Asur. Says, you're not allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael. Likrat Imamahu. Wait a minute, but okay, maybe in general it's also to leave Eretz Yisrael to go to Chusaretz. What about to go greet my mother? Amalai any Odea says, I don't know. Itarach. So Itarach can mean either that he waited, he delayed a little bit, or Itarach can mean that he got, like from the word, from the work that he had, Irtach, that he got a little angry. So he got a little angry, or he got a little worked up, Hurta, Hadar Ato, and he came back again. Amalai Asi Nitratit Letzait. It's okay for you to go. Makam Yachzircha de Shalom. You can come back. You can come back. Make sure that you come back in peace. Meaning that he gives him a bracha that everything should go well. After the coming of Rabbi Elazar, he came before Rabbi Elazar. I'm like, Chas v'shalom, right? Dilma mirtach ratach. So he says, Rav Asi says to Rabbi Yeshua, maybe Rabbi Yochanan got mad at me, and that's why he didn't want to give me an answer at first. So I'm like, Mar Marlecha. So he says, what did he say to you? So he tells over the story. I'm like, Makom yachzircha de shalom. In the end, he said to me that Hashem should return you in peace. He says, Amaleim, Aita devatach lavag mevarech lecha. That if he was really upset at you, he wouldn't have given you a bracha. The fact that he gave you a bracha is indicative of the fact that he wasn't upset and that he felt it was the right thing to do. That's the way Rashi reads the Gemara. To point out that the Marsha does have an alternative reading of the Gemara to explain that the switch between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yeshua happens at a different point in the, in Rabbi Elazar, happens at a different point in the story. If you want to see that, just look in the Marshad, but just to be aware that there is such an interpretation. In the meantime, he heard that her coffin was coming, meaning that she had already passed away. She wasn't coming in person, but she was coming in her coffin. She was already passed away. Says, had I known this, I wouldn't have gone out. So despite the fact that even though a person or a child demands, and we'll see this in a second, there's a demand of a child to perform Kibbutz Avim both b'chayehem u'b'motam, when they're alive or when they pass away. Nevertheless, he felt that to leave Eretz Yisrael, going from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz Haaretz, which was not necessarily proper or appropriate, when it came to Kibbutz Avim b'chayehem, when they were alive, that was enough of a mitzvah to justify leaving Eretz Yisrael. But when it came to B'motav, to provide the Kibbutz Avim when they are passed away already, that wouldn't have justified his leaving Eretz Yisrael. So now, Tam Rabbanan, so this is the case, Mechabdo B'chayav U'Mechabdo B'moto. One has to give respect to their parents, or Kibbutz to their parents, both during their lifetime and after they pass away. B'chayav Ketzad. How does it work? During their lifetime, do you give them respect? Anishma V'dvar Aviv L'makom. Right, if a person is of stature, and people listen to him because he has stature, but his father is also of stature, and they would equally listen to his father as they would to him, or whatever he said, if his father had said it, they would feel the same way about it. Then, when he says, Ashishma Dvar Aviv L'makom, if a place they listen to him because they would listen to him or his father, he should quote it in his father's name. Lo Yamar Shalchuni Bishvil Etzmi, right? Don't tell them, send me on this mission because of me, but rather send it because of my father. Or Maruni Bishvil Etzmi, don't say, speed me through this or help me do this because of what me or my standing, but rather because of my father. But Runi Bishvil Etzmi, let me go free or let me go because of my standing, but rather because of my father. Halakulo Bishvil Abba, all of them should be done because of Abba. I mean, giving kavod to the father is showing that everything that you do or everything that you accept, or every kavod that you're given, or mission that you're given, is because of your father, and not because of you. B'moto ketzad, when he passes away, how do you give kavod to the father? I omer, devar shmu'am mipiv. Right, if you're saying over something in the name of your father, lo yomar kachamar abo, when your father does it, don't say, this is what my father said, ela kachamar abba mori, hareini kaparat mishkavo. This is what my father, my master said, and I am hareini kaparat mishkavo. I am a kapara. I am a redemption or forgiveness for his deathbed. And what's this? V'hani milei toch shnei masar chodesh. That's only within the first 12 months. Mikan ve'elech, beyond 12 months, omer zichrono levercha l'chayolam haba. When he quotes things in his father after he's passed away, he should say, Zichrono levercha, or say zecher tzadik levercha l'chayolam haba. So what's the difference between the first 12 months and after 12 months? Because we know that people are nidon, begin him for the first 12 months. That's why people say kaddish for the first year. We don't say it all the way 12 months, because we don't want to imply that the parent is a Russia that we're saying for all 12 months. So we say it for 11 months. But otherwise, we say kaddish. We try to do things that are zuchus for the mace within the first 12 months to protect them from any dino shel gehenim. So therefore, when in the first 12 months, when he quotes something for his father, he says, I quote of Abba Mori, Hareini Kabaret Mishkavo, I accept on myself, I take upon myself any punishment or anything that should happen to him, I accept upon myself to protect them up in Shemayim. But that's only with the first. After 12 months, when it's not relevant anymore in terms of kapara, then he should say, Zichrono Levracha Mechayolam Abba. Now the Marsha others point out over here that Zichrono Levracha is something that one could say even when he's alive. Means zichrono levracha, it just means that he should be remembered for good or should be given a bracha. That's not necessarily an implication. Today we use it as an implication of death already. But one could say zichrono levracha even about someone who's alive. So the key phrase here is zichrono levracha lechaye olam haba. Lechaye olam haba is what is indicative that he's already passed away, because you're already asking him to be placed or taken up to chaye olam haba. That's what we say today many times, zichr tzadik levracha. Tanu rabbanan. Chacham mishaneh shem aviv shem rabo, that the chacham, when he speaks, has to say about when he quotes something in his father, he doesn't say his father's name, but rather he says Abba Mori or Rebbe Mori. Then he says it. Turgamon, the one who interprets, eno mishaneh lo shem aviv lo shem rabo, doesn't change his father's name or his rav's name. So in the time of the Gemara, there were no megaphones, no microphones. When the chacham used to give a drasha, he used to give the drasha, quietly, he used to say it over to a person that was called a amora, or a miturgaman, and that amora used to then speak more loudly. He was able to project his voice better, and he used to say over the drasha that the chacham was saying to the amora, and he used to project it to the people so everyone could hear. Either he was projecting because of his ability to speak louder and to project his voice, or also sometimes he translated into Aramaic so the people could understand. So over here, what is the case here? So it says, Avu Adaman. This miturgaman, when he can quote in the name of his father, who is he talking about? Ilim avod the miturgaman. If it's the father of the miturgaman himself, ato turgaman lav bar chiyuvo, he's not an obligated in kibud avim. Why, if he's quoting something from his father's name, is he allowed to say his father's name? Lamarovo shem aviv shel chacham. We're talking about the name of the father of the chacham, shem rabo shel chacham. In both cases, the chacham has to change the name, but the miturgaman does not have to change the name of the father of the chacham. Kiha de mar bar vashi. And what's that case? Here's the example of such a case. Kihava Dorish Papirka, right? That there was a Dorish in the Pirka, Marba Ravashi, the son of Ravashi, was giving her a drush in the Pirka in the time of the Rego when he was giving a big drush to the Am. Iwamar, when he quoted something from his father, he would say Abba Mari, that he would say that when he was quoting Ravashi and saying something from Ravashi, he would say Abba Mari Amar, something like this, quote, quote, da, da, da. And the Amore, the one who was in front of him, the Maturban would Amar, Hochi Amar Ravashi. So when he requoted it from Marba Ravashi, he would say, this is what Ravashi says. Because Ravashi himself was obligated in Kibur Av of his father Ravashi, so when he quotes something Ravashi, he says Abba Mari. But the Maturgaman, who Ravashi is not his father, so then when he retells over what the Marba Ravashi told him, he quotes it literally in the name of Ravashi. He doesn't say Abba Mari because it's not Abba Mari. It's not the father of the Maturgaman. So when the Maturgaman says it, he says it in the name of Ravashi and not in the way that Marba Ravashi passed it on to him as Abba Mari. Okay, we'll stop over here.